section, I need to start by just telling Pastor Tim how much I appreciate the opportunity and the honor to get to speak to you today. We've got an incredible pastor. I mean, the way he leads us, his vision, the way he faithfully gives God's word week after week. And he won't say stuff like this, but like even this past week, the Camp 323, I mean, that's his vision that he had for us to go out. And then 900 people mobilized during the week. It's incredible. But I also want to take a minute to thank our entire staff. I've been a part of this staff now for a little while, and here's what I can tell you. From being on the inside of this church, man, the men and women that serve you on this staff, they love Jesus. They love Jesus with all their hearts. They love you. They love your children. And it's an honor to really get to work alongside each one of them and seeing them kind of from the inside. And I know you see them mainly from the outside. But I especially want to thank the specific staff that I work with, that next generation staff. That is that birth through college leaders. And for a specific reason, I have 6 children of my own. So I have a senior, a junior, 2 in middle school, a third grader, and a kindergartner. So I have preschool children, middle school, and high school all covered inside of my own kids. And after another year, I'll have 1 in college. So not only do I get to work alongside those people and lead that group, but my children are ministered to by them, and they're incredible. I also want to thank each and every one of you parents who had your kids come out this past week, as Pastor Tim said, with our camp. I mean, over 900 people on this campus. It was absolutely incredible for it to be first time. I mean, what Brian Schuler, Stephen Henry, Lori, what they were able to pull off and do was absolutely incredible. But I especially want to welcome and thank any of you who are visiting, who your kids visited this past week, and you're with us for the first time. And so this past week, I had the opportunity to serve as our camp pastor, and we talked about the heart. The heart. It was Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do with all your heart. And so we took that word heart and we examined it. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today, is I want to talk about the heart. And here's the deal. On a day like today, a Father's Day, you could kind of think, well, the message is only for dads. And it's not true. This message dealing with the heart is for every one of us. If you've ever been discouraged, this message is for you. If you've ever been troubled, this message is for you. If you've ever been challenged, if you've ever been hurt, if you've ever been disappointed, if you've ever been discouraged, if you've ever been any of those things, you've been all those things because you have a heart, and that's what we're going to talk about today. In fact, what I really want to talk to you about is something called courage. And now, listen, for a long time, I had a very wrong view of what courage was. In fact, for a long time, my view of courage went something like this: no fear. You know, and you even see it on the bumper stickers, no fear. And so my definition of courage was, I have to have no fear. When in reality, if we think about that for a second, it's actually a better definition probably for something like stupidity more than it is courage, right? Like if you saw me go up to fire and just put my hand in fire, you wouldn't say, oh, how courageous, how brave. You would say, how stupid. Exactly. And so this is a very bad definition, but I'm telling you, I'm one of these guys. I've coached high school football for 20 years. I've got 5 sons. I love Braveheart. I love Patriot. I love The Gladiator. I love all of these movies that take men and they put them in these unbelievable adverse situations. And then what are you going to do with it? And so the heroes of the story are these men. And what I have found over time is my definition changed. It went from no fear, which really a better definition of that is stupidity, to the ability to face your fear. Because here's what I figured out about my heart. When I was in those situations, when I was in those troubling situations, and by the way, with a room this size, there has to be a whole bunch of you that are in those situations right now, whether you're disappointed or discouraged or disheartened or challenged or whatever that is. You know what I found? I found I rarely felt like a hero. I rarely felt like a hero. In fact, there's a great proverb that says, the wicked flee, though no one pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm just going to be very honest with you and upfront. More times than not, when I was faced with those monumental moments, I felt like more the man who wanted to run than I felt like the lion, the righteous who had the heart of the lion. And I'm just being honest with you. And I'm going to be real honest with you right now as well, because I think in church, we do something very badly. And I've done it for a long time too, out of this definition of courage, where I don't want you to think I have any fear in me at all. Listen, we're all here for a reason. We all come to church because we know there's something broke on the inside of us. We know there's something more. We know we're to worship God. We know we have issues. We know we have fears. We know we have sins. And so we come to figure that out, to figure out my identity with God, where I stand and where I go. But listen, what do we do when we come to church so often? Is we put on our best clothes, you know, we comb our hair, those of us who have to comb our hair, and we come and we put on our best face, our best talk, our best language, our best thing, and we want to show everybody that everything is good. And it really goes back into that definition of no fear, and it's almost a stupid thing. I had somebody describe to me one time, can you imagine someone who breaks their leg, who goes to the hospital, and then when they get to the hospital, they're walking around like, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm good. But don't we do that spiritually? Don't we do that spiritually? We know that we have brokenness in our heart. We know we have fear. We know we have doubt. We know we have issues. We know we have all of these things. And then we come to church and we walk around like, I'm good, I'm good. Well, why are you here if you're good, right? Why are you even here? And so here, I would like to challenge you today, as we talk about courage today, I would like to challenge you to do something that I'm just telling you I had trouble doing for a long time, and it's just simply this. Let your guard down. Let your guard down today and listen to God's word in a brand new way. Because I'm just telling you, for a long time, when I had that definition of courage, that it's just no fear, you know what I had to do? I had to put on a front. I had to put on a face, because in my heart of hearts and in your heart of hearts, you know, you have fear. You have doubts. You have troubles. You have disappointment. We have all of those things. But listen, God has an answer for those things. And I pray that every single one of you are going to leave today knowing how you deal with those struggles in your life. And so what I want to do with you is I want to share with you two absolutely powerful passages that God has used in my life to teach me. So listen, all I'm doing is I'm going to try to give you what God has given me. So I'm going to start with Acts chapter 4, verse 13, one of my absolute favorite verses in all the Bible, and it says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Hey, a little backdrop on this, the they here are the people that hate Jesus, the people that hate Peter and John. They're the ones who hate the things of Jesus. In fact, they hate them so much, they had taken Peter and John and told them, do not say the name of Jesus anymore. You're done with it. If you say it anymore, you may possibly die, right? And so the threat was against them. The threat was against, don't say the name of Jesus, that's it. But even these men that hated Jesus and the ways of Jesus, if you look at it, they say that they were astonished. They were amazed. Why? Look at this. Because they realized these were unschooled, ordinary men, right? But they took note, these men had been with Jesus. When I read this scripture and I started to understand it for the first time, I'm starting to understand some simple aspects of courage that absolutely changed my life. Listen, those men were ordinary. Those men were even, it went so far as to say, unschooled. There's nothing special about them. So listen, if you're sitting here in this audience today and there's nothing special about you, this message is for you. If you're sitting here in this audience and you're just an ordinary dude, an ordinary lady, this message is for you. The amazing thing is they said there was something extraordinary about these people, but listen, they took note they had been with who? Jesus. And that's going to be the difference, okay? Now, here's part of why I love Peter. And you guys, anybody who's been around God's word or been in the church long enough, you probably know some of these stories of Peter, but I absolutely can relate to Peter. Peter is the guy that at the certain point is the one who spoke up and said, Jesus, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, Peter, on what you said, I'm going to build my church. Good job, Peter. Good job. He's also the guy though, he's also the guy when Jesus tells him about he's going to be crucified, he speaks up and he says, no, I'll protect you. I'm not going to allow it to happen. And he tells him, you got to get behind me, Satan. Like, that's not good. Not good, Peter. He's also the one that when they're all on the ship and Jesus comes walking on the water, Peter is the one who's willing to step out of the boat and walks to Jesus. He's also the one that looks sideways and he goes and he sinks and Jesus has to rescue him. Peter is also the one who says to Jesus, no matter what, Jesus, I'm with you. There's nothing that's going to stop me from loving you, from being with you, until one night they come to arrest Jesus. And what do we know about Peter? He denies Jesus three times. In fact, in the movie, in one of those movies, I think it was The Passion, they portray him with one of those times betraying Jesus. A little girl says, hey, aren't you the one? And he goes, no. He's scared to death of a little girl. Now, we don't know if that actually happened, but we know that he betrays Jesus and says he doesn't even know him. Guys, can you relate to Peter? I'm here. God, I'm with you. Oh, I'm facing this. Oh, God, I'm with you. Oh, listen, I can relate to Peter, but here's what I love. I love seeing this Acts 4:13. He's just a regular, ordinary guy, but something has happened. They're seeing the boldness and the courage of Peter, and something has happened with him, and the difference was that he had been with Jesus. I want to show you a second passage real quick that has to do with courage as well. Everybody look over at Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. And I love this passage as well. And guys, for a long time, I misunderstood this. But let's read it, and then we're going to talk about it here. Joshua 1. Whoop, let me get on over there. Joshua 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord says to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Guys, I love this passage. And if you know about this story, you know that Joshua has taken over for Moses and he's about to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And these are the commands that God is giving Joshua to prepare him to lead all of these people in. And there's just a couple of things that I want to point out to you right here. The first thing you need to know about this passage is it's not like he's about to lead them in and everything is perfect. Guys, Joshua is leading these people into this land, and what's waiting on him there is 31 different hostile empires that want to kill the Israelites. 31 different people group are just waiting for them to cross the river and be attacked. Man, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like that before in your life, in life? You know, like as soon as I get to where I think I want to be, here it comes. From 31 different directions. So you guys got to understand, as he's telling Joshua to be strong and courageous to lead them in here, listen, God wasn't going before him to make everything comfortable, to make everything easy, but he does make Joshua a couple of promises here right in the midst of you dealing with these 31 different hostile empires that are going to come against you. Here is some things, because for a long time, what I thought the message of that verse was be strong and courageous. Like, I thought that was the point. Like, be strong and courageous. And I love it. And it's a wonderful term. And I love that term, be strong and courageous. But you know what it does? It kind of makes Joshua out to be the hero. it feeds into me. Like when I say be strong and courageous, I'm thinking that's about me. I need to be strong and courageous. But what I find as I dive into God's word is that God is always the hero. God is always the hero. And so let's take a look at three things real quickly that deal with being strong and courageous. And here's the very first one. The very first point comes from verse 9. Verse 9 says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Here's the first point. Listen, courage comes from God. Now, I know for some of you, you may be sitting right there and going, I got it. I understand that. Listen, I didn't understand that for a long time. I thought courage came from my strength, from my mind, from my will, from my heart. And I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't come from there. God's word says that our true courage comes from knowing that God is with us. The problem with my mind, my body, my strength, is it fails us so quickly, doesn't it? Listen, you guys remember that Psalm 23 that you learned early on as a child? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Here's the first thing that we have to know about courage, is courage comes from the Spirit of God inside of me. Listen, Acts 4:13, when it was talking about Peter, why were they were so astonished at their boldness and courage, but they took note what? They had been with Jesus. Listen, the first part of understanding courage is knowing this, that courage comes from God. So listen, a challenge that I have for you today is simple question. Do you know that God is with you? Listen, do you know that that is where courage comes from? And I'm going to tell you, the starting place of true biblical courage is surrendering my life to Jesus. That's the starting point. I'm not the hero of this story. Jesus is this hero of the story, and he is inside of me. Because look back at the very end of verse 9. He says, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. By the way, why do you tell someone don't be discouraged? Do not be terrified. Because there's something terrifying that you're about to see, right? Like if I'm telling my kid, okay, now we're about to go in here, but I don't want you to be scared, because you're telling them that because there's something scary coming. Or don't be discouraged because I'm about to tell you some bad news, right? That's coming. But you got to look at the next line. He says, for, do not be discouraged, do not be terrified. Listen, for, what's the reason? The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Guys, I'm telling you, I have to understand this. Courage doesn't start by having no fear. Courage isn't even just me facing my fear. Because here's what I know, even when I face my fears, my heart faints, right? Listen, have you made terrible decisions out of fear or discouragement or this, that, and the other? Of course we have. Because you know what happens? We look at our situation, we look at our strength, and then we get discouraged, right? We put our head down. What? Look at my situation. Think about Joshua's situation. 31 hostile empires coming against him. Listen, I coached high school football for the last 20 years, and I've given the exact same pregame speech every single Friday night, and I love it. Because it comes from the story of Gideon. And I don't know if you know this story or not, but every year the Israelites came under attack of the Midianites. And they would come and it was right at harvest time, and they would come and take all their things from them. They would plunder them and they would leave. And so listen, we find Gideon in the book of Joshua, his response to the Midianites coming is he's in hiding. He's hiding from the Midianites. Why is he in hiding? Because he's looking at the Midianites, he's looking at his strength, his ability, and the natural result was to what? Be afraid, get in a hole. Listen, have you ever been there before? Have you ever faced things in your life and the situation? You may have caused it, or it may have been, listen, no cause of your own. It just happened to you. Have you been in a situation, Listen, where you look at the circumstances and they're so big and they're so large, but you compare them to you and it makes you just want to hide. It makes you just want to run. Here's the power of knowing that strength comes from God. Listen to this, because God sends an angel to Gideon, and here's what he tells him. And I'm going to get down, because I imagine the angel had to kind of get down. It's what I imagine in my mind. The angel has to get down to look Gideon in the eyes, and he tells him this. And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." You guys know that passage? It's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. And that's all I say to my football team before they go out on Friday night. And the angel of the Lord says to the man, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Here's why I tell those guys that, because I know they're scared. I know they've got butterflies. Butterflies, by the way, is a nice way of saying scared, all right? And so I know they've got butterflies running through them like crazy, and I want to remind them, I know you're looking at you and you're looking at this moment. I know you're looking at you and you're looking at this game, but God says this about you. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You guys need to understand the first part of understanding courage is this. I don't compare my situation, my adversary, my enemy to my strength, my mind, my will, my feelings. It's not that. It's I'm comparing it to who? God who's inside of me. God who is with me. And so I'm telling you, if God is not with you, you can't even begin to understand what true biblical courage even is. I love that goes in here and he commands him, be strong and courageous. If you look at these terms, strength and courage, they come from the Hebrew words, kazak and amatz, and those words mean things like this, stand firm, hold your ground. It's the thing inside of us that allows us to look the enemy straight in his eyes. It means good courage. It means the confidence that comes, the confidence of victory before we take the field. Listen to this, and I love this term because one man described it this way, that true biblical courage is this. Listen to this term. I love it. Heavenly audacity. Don't you love that term? Heavenly audacity. Listen, I had a very bad definition of courage for a long time. My definition was, I'm going to show no fear. I'm going to have no fear. What's the problem with that? I'm scared of a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that are discouraging, that are a problem. My next definition was, it's the facing of it. Well, you know what the problem with that is? I'm like Gideon. I look at what I need to face, and I look at me, and my response is, I want to run, or I want to hide, or I want to look the other way, or I want to ignore it, or I just want to be passive. Listen what happens when I have true strength and courage and I know, listen, that God is with me. What does it put inside of my life? Heavenly, spiritual audacity, because I know that God is with me. Man, isn't that incredible? And that's good news. And so here's the question that I have for each one of you. Is God with you? Is God inside of you? Here in just a little while, we're going to pray for all of our dads. We're going to have a time where we have all of our dads come down and we're going to pray for our dads. But before we do that, we're going to open up the altar for anybody who wants to come forward and respond or have to pray for any reason, need counseling. But I'm just telling you, if there's anyone here in this room today and you know that God's Spirit is not inside of you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I come forward and I just say, Lord, I surrender all to you. I give myself to you, because that's when biblical courage begins, because it's only when the Spirit of God is inside of me that I can begin to truly have courage. And that's what he means when he says, be strong and courageous. So you guys need to understand when he's saying, be strong and courageous, he's saying, for, because God is with you. And so here's my other question. Parents that are in the room, listen, do your children know this? Listen, the greatest thing any daddy, any mommy can do, and I'm going to address you daddies because I'm one, the greatest thing a daddy can ever do for his little boy or little girl is to lead him to Jesus. That's the greatest thing you can do for them. I know we want to provide for them. I know we want to protect them. I know we want to lead them. I know we want to do, and all of those things are good and strong, but the greatest thing I can do is to lead my child to Jesus. Listen, I love you, love you, love you with all my heart. If you're a parent who comes and you drop your kids off at church and then you pick them up later, hey, I want you to keep doing that. I want you to keep dropping them. I'm just telling you, there's no substitute from your child seeing you in God's word. There's no substitute for your child seeing you pray, seeing you praise God, seeing you do those things, okay? And so I'm just asking you the question, do you know that God is with you, and are you leading your child to know the Lord as well? But here's a second thing that we pull from here. Look at verse 5, if you would. Verse 5, and I love this one. It says this, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, listen, say never. Say never. I'm just telling you this. That is a beautiful word, isn't it? You know why that's such a beautiful word to me? That God will never leave me? Because I'm a flaming knucklehead. I do stuff that later on I look back on and I go, that was stupid. Why did I do that? Why did I react that way? Why did I do that this way? There's things that I look back. I'm just telling you, the vast majority of this stuff that I've learned about biblical courage came from a time period in my life that I caused pain upon myself. My decisions, my issues, not anyone else. So listen, when I hear from God's word things like Romans 8 that says there's nothing that can separate me from God's love, not death, life, angels, demons, present, future, height, depth, nor anything in all creation. Listen, that's a verse that gives me courage, because listen to this, courage comes from knowing that he will never leave me, even in the midst of my mistakes. Man, isn't that encouraging to know? Listen, most of our relationships are these consumer relationships, right? Where it's like, man, as long as I'm getting from you what I want from you, I'll stick around, right? But if I could get it cheaper, I can get it better somewhere else. I'm out. I'm gone. That's not God's love. God's love is this covenant love that he says, no matter what, never. I will never leave you. There's nothing. He uses these big words, and they give us courage. Guys, we've started something this past year, you men. We started something this past year called Operation M46. We meet here at our church the first Friday morning of every month during the school year. We'll crank it back this next year in September, and we run it through May, the first Friday of every month from 6:30 to 7:30. And all we do is try to inspire and equip dads to fight for the hearts of their children. Each month, we give them one tool that month to go be the spiritual leader of the home. But one of the things I love about Operation M46 is we have this logo. And I don't know if you've ever seen our logo, but we use a rhino on the front of it. And it's for a very specific reason we use this rhino. First reason is because the rhino is a humongous beast. I mean, it's this huge animal, right? And so we tell dads, listen, whether you're a good dad or a bad dad, whether you're a present dad or you're a dad that's not around, you're huge in the life of your kid. You guys think about your own experience with your fathers growing up. Regardless of the situation, they're huge in our life, aren't they? They're huge. But here's the other part of the rhino that we love. A rhino can run over 30 miles per hour. He can run over 30 miles per hour, but it can only see 10 yards in front of itself. It's why it has that big giant horn, because it runs into stuff. It has to run by faith and not by sight. And so you know what happens to the rhino? It runs into stuff. Listen, that's my testimony. I run into stuff. I mess up. And so when I hear something like when God says, I will never leave you, you know what it does to me? It gives me courage to know, even in the midst of me running into stuff, God is with me. Listen, we talk about that proverb. We talk about that proverb. Though a just man falls seven times, he rises again. Why? Because that's God's strength inside of me. Because God will never leave me, and there's nothing that can separate me from him. And so here's a question that I have for you guys out of this. It's simply this. Do you know, and do your kids know, that there is nothing that can stop you from loving them? Do they know that beyond a shadow of doubt? I know you know that, and I know that about my kids. But do they know that? Do you understand what kind of courage puts inside of their hearts? Because listen, before they fully understand the Father, listen, we are a picture of Jesus and of God to them. We're not Jesus and we're not God. That's the whole point of the rhino. We mess up, we make mistakes, but we are that Jesus with skin on it to our kids. Do they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I will never stop loving you? Don't you love that picture of the prodigal son? You guys know that story? The son comes, it can't get any more disrespectful than this. Give me my money before you're dead. In essence, what he's saying is, wish you were dead, give me my money. And he goes, and what does he do with it? He squanders it on everything that the dad is against. But when he comes home, what's the dad's response? Arms wide open, attacking his boy with abundant love, a love that's hard for us to even imagine. Listen, guys, do you know that when God's Spirit is inside of you, listen, he is with you. He will never leave you. And guys, I'm challenging you, if you pass that down to your children, what an incredible gift you're giving your children as well. And let's look at our third thing. The third thing that we learn about courage comes from verse 3, and this may be my most favorite part of all of them. Look at verse 3, and he tells Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Listen, courage comes from doing what God calls us to do. Courage comes from doing what God calls us to do. I'm just telling you, with a room this size, I have no idea what God's will and what God is calling each and every one of you to do in your life. Listen, there's sometimes I don't know what God's will is for my life. How am I going to know what God's will is for your life, right? But listen, there are certain things that I do know. If you're a parent today, it is God's will for you to fight for the heart of your child. If you're a mama, if you're a daddy, there's no question. You students in here, there's no doubt. If you're a student, hey, you are called to be a student. That's part of the will of God. But listen, mamas and daddies, if you're a husband, it is God's will for you to fight for the heart of your wife. If you're a wife, you're called to fight for the heart of your husband. Listen, I don't know all the aspects of what God has called you to do in your life, but listen to this promise that he gave Joshua. He tells Joshua, part of your job is to fight. But he says this, listen, I'm going to give you every place where you place your foot. Now, listen, I changed that up a little bit. My interpretation is I say boot. I'm going to give you every place you place your boot. I want you to think about what he's saying. I'm not going to just do this for you. It's not necessarily going to be easy. Listen, I don't know the situations that you all are in. I don't know the struggles you're in, the financial struggles, the relationship struggles, the job struggles, all of those different things that happen in our life. And God never promises that will be easy. But here's what he promises us with courage, that his Spirit is with us. He is with us. He's not going to leave us. And here he tells Joshua, I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot. I absolutely love this because here's the question that has for me. What is God's will for my life? What is it that God is calling me to do even in the life of my children? Where do I need to engage? Listen, is there an area of your life or your children's life that you know you should engage, but it's easier to just turn your head the other way? Is it easier? I'm just going to tell you, there's times where it's, and I'm just being honest with you, that I struggle to pray with my wife. For whatever reason, for a guy, sometimes praying with our wives is not a natural thing. There are times that I have to do that. I have to do it because it would just be easier to just be passive. I'm just not going to do it. It's easier for us. I'm telling you guys, are you engaging in what God has called you to do? And so here's the question. Are you engaged in the battle? Are you engaged in the battle? But I love the promise that he gives Joshua here. He says, I'm going to give you every square inch that your boot takes, but you got to go and you got to take it. Part of what my prayer is for you today is that your boots get moving in those areas. Engage, because here's the question. Listen to this. If you don't do it in the life of your children, who's going to? Who's going to? If you're not the one who's engaging and fighting for their hearts, if you're not doing it, then who will? And so very last thing that I want to mention to you today is I want you to flip over to Deuteronomy 31, please. Deuteronomy 31:7, because this is something else I was shown just a few years ago that absolutely blew my mind. Deuteronomy 31:7, and this is before Moses dies. And look at what Moses says to Joshua. If you don't know the story, Moses is Joshua's spiritual father, and this is what he says to him. Then Moses summoned Joshua and says to him in the presence of all Israel, Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. Guys, I want you to hear this. Moses, as Joshua's spiritual father, is telling him the things of God. He's telling him, Joshua, be strong and courageous. You know what Moses is doing to Joshua right here? He's placing courage in his heart. It's a word that we kind of think is a soft word, encourage, but it's not. It's a strong word. Daddies, mamas, do you know that that's part of our responsibility? It's part of our blessing that we get to do, that we get to speak life into our children. We get to speak courage inside of them. Listen, one of our great honors of our life is we get to encourage our children, to place courage in their hearts. How do I do that? Speak the things of God into our children's life. And when we do that, they are encouraged.